This is the Divided Kingdom radio program, Thursday, November 9th, 2023. Mr. and Mrs. America, hello, and Elizabeth Caverly, that's us. I'm bringing you cutting-edge news.
Yes.
Stunning secrets you won't find anywhere else on radio. Now we have two, not just one new program a week. Besides our regular 8 p.m. Thursday WWCR 4.840 megahertz program, we are now heard also on Wednesday evenings, an hour earlier, on 5.935 megahertz at 7 p.m. That's 5.935. Note that that's an hour earlier than our Thursday program. If you missed our opening Wednesday program, November 1st, go to our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com and tell others to visit it too. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com.
And this is Elizabeth Caverly headlining our program tonight. Is another big red flag bit of information from our second Northeast contact. The last few programs, Lou, you've been reporting on the ongoing Massachusetts nefarious Operation Task Force Shelter. Thanks to a dogged listener who's investigating there, the 40 secret shelters for illegals.
Yes, Elizabeth, more and more attention is being drawn nationally to this creepy, disgraceful program. We recall that the shelter at Yarmouth actually kicked out elderly residents who were paying $1,200 a month to reside there. One 89-year-old woman was a victim who had to leave, so Governor Mara Healey's co-opted National Guard could help bring in and oversee the new residents, illegal aliens. Now, even a Massachusetts legislator is calling for an end to Massachusetts' decades-old right-to-shelter law.
Now, Lou, one other Northeast contact, a very, very faithful contact, has sent us a very disturbing newspaper ad and picture. It looks like we may be flirting with plans for mass genocide everywhere.
That would be the Leominster Community Health and Urgent Care Center. In big black letters, there is proclaimed to be now open. Medical, dental, behavioral health, optometry, urgent care.
In color, the ad shows a very low, long building. There is a walk-in building. This is a walk-in building, rather. Open to the public 7 days a week. Gosh, Lou, that's really, really convenient, isn't it?
It is,
yeah. 7 days a week. Community Health Connections, that's the name, and it states that it is a nonprofit, federally qualified community health center at five locations in Leominster, Fitchburg, and Gardner.
Notice there are five of these locations, but only three towns listed. That means at least one of the towns must have more than one of these ominous sprawling buildings.
Let's just look at some of the things about this, quote, urgent care center that appear strange and macabre.
Well, Elizabeth, first there's the name, urgent care center. Why isn't emergency care center a good enough name for the place? Emergency care is a term we're all acclimated to. Why the need to say urgent care? Is there something more drastic planned inside the building that the powers that be want to speed up and make urgent?
You mean like Operation Warp Speed? Let's get lots of things done quickly, maybe in the somewhat dark interior of that, quote, urgent care building?
Which brings up what I noticed in the ad, very, very few and extremely small windows in the long, long building. Is this so that no one can see in to what's happening, and so no one can easily escape?
Now, of course, we're not alarmist, Lou. We're not saying that all these nefarious, murderous-type plans will happen right now. No, as the New World Order gains more control later, these buildings could be readily prepared for their black-hearted business. You mentioned the long, low building, Lou. it doesn't look a lot different from pictures we've seen of Auschwitz and other Nazi concentration camps.
These are some more reflections God gave me about such a long, windowless, almost windowless complex. First, more people can be crowded in, unseen. Second, people can't yell out the windows or use them to jump out and escape. And third, these could readily be adapted by Murder, Inc. to carry out torture and worse, depopulation centers.
And if I just interrupt a minute, just to give a little aside that today we noticed in a little supplement with our local Maryland newspaper that comes in the fall, they showed a low-income residence that's being constructed. And it looks somewhat like this urgent care center that we're talking about there in Massachusetts. And you commented to me that the style of the building in our paper looked like a what?
A jail.
Yeah.
A prison.
A prison.
Yeah.
And so also its name here, we're not going to identify right now the street name, but it has the word Commons in it. Now, you listeners will recall we've had some articles very recently that tell about the Great Reset's favorite term, Commons. You know, they plan to grab up individual property, and once they've gotten all that, they can universalize for themselves some of this area, these areas that they call commons. So there are a lot of things. We have to look at the suspect nomenclature of anything that says community or commons. Everything is going communistic in a very bad Great Reset sense, Lou. But go back to what you were saying there right after we were talking, that this low building there of the Urgent Care Center reminded us of Auschwitz.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And as I said a few minutes ago, we had three major points there. More people can be crowded in, unseen. So those on the outside will never know what's going on.
Help! Let me out! Nobody is going to even get to the window to do that.
That's our second point. No one can yell out to anyone. The windows are very small and very high up. I would say, just guessing, maybe 7 feet off the ground, maybe 8 feet. So no one can get that high unless they're young and spry and can stand on a chair or something. And I doubt if these people will be able to do that. And the third point, these could readily be adapted by Murder, Inc., carrying out torture and worse things.
And I'm interrupting again because we need to draw attention back again to the nomenclature, community health connections. And again, this word connections, we've been hearing it over and over and over lately, and you're going to say something about that, I think, the Bill Gates aspect of that. But we have to think about this, that it also is federally, quote, qualified. Now, what in the heck does that mean? Is it something akin to those mobile vans that former Republican Governor Larry Hogan got moving in Maryland, the COVID vans, the vax vans? Apparently, our Northeast contact thought that was sort of unique, that mobile vans were coming, but no, we've experienced them here. Now, there's more about this community health connections, isn't there?
There is. Our great Northeast contact also noted the QR code in the Urgent Care Center
article.
And
before you do that, one of us must say the purpose of this place. And it says, I guess you want me to read this, Lou? Community Health Connections is here for all your health care needs. And I think I have a little paper problem here. Let me see if I can pull this together. We had to cut it in two to kind of get it to work right. Anyway, all your health needs from primary and family medical care to dental, behavioral health. Now, we have to stop on that, behavioral health. MK Ultra plans in the dark, people stuck in there. We wonder. We also remember how the late Al Covert, and those of you who didn't know him really missed something wonderful. It's just about the second anniversary now of his passing due to COVID. But he had done some investigating that some post offices that were two-level had a holding center on the bottom. And you see, when all this goes down, people, patriots, dissenters could be held down in that part of the post office. So, you know, these are multi-purpose buildings, aren't they, Lou?
They are, and it's a curious thing that you've brought that up. Because where we live on the Eastern Shore, most buildings, including houses, do not have a basement because the water table is simply too high. It would flood too easily. But one of the post offices in one of the nearby towns, one of the larger ones, does have a basement.
That's in Easton, Maryland.
It is, it is.
Now, long ago when you and I think we're not even on the radio yet, I'm not certain, but we had begun to learn about the New World Order through the Prophecy Club, and perhaps we had started to listen to Dr. Stan Monteith, and we had ordered some videos at that time from the Prophecy Club. And, of course, I think one of them maybe had something to do with the takeover in America that was coming. And so on the telephone, I talked to a person who had gotten in touch with us. I guess our radio ministry had just begun a little bit locally on WKDI at Denton, Maryland. And so the person was very interested in this video we had gotten. And I said, we will send it down to you. Now, Salisbury is how many miles from us?
Not more than 50, if it's that many.
And it probably would only go through one post office to get there.
I would think so, yeah.
Why, hallelujah, the post office was Easton, this two-level post office. And also, Easton is the Freemasonic seat, practically, of Maryland. I think all Freemasonry began there, all the big poobahs of it. Back in the 1700s, there's a big building there. So we just are putting all these factors here for you to think about. So at any rate, Lou mailed off the package, but then I had a phone call. The package had broken bits of a video in it. Now, this tells us two things, that early on, even then, our telephone was being regarded, shall we say. Our calls were being monitored, and that somebody at that post office must have done something to that video. So we're just laying it out here that perhaps some of these innocuous long buildings are not so innocuous. So the behavioral health might be one aspect they say they'll look at, optometry, specialty services, and urgent care, and of course, the COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are going to be available at all sites and in these mobile clinics. Do you have some more? Oh, yes. Our astute Northeast contact did a little essay about something, the QR code.
That's exactly right. And
You're going to tell us about the contact's essay, aren't you?
I am. And
in Greek.
Before I get to that.
Yes, you're going to talk about
algorithm. Yes, I believe we've covered the other. So I'll get right into that. In Greek, the prefix algo means pain. That's taken from the star algol. A-L-G-O-L. And I happened to look that up because that name sounded so familiar. I used to be very interested in astronomy, still am to some extent. Algol is a variable star, which means it actually consists of three smaller stars, one bright one and two smaller ones, and they eclipse each other as they rotate around each other. So it changes in brightness frequently on a periodic manner. So probably that's why it got the reputation as being called the most evil star in the heavens by many ancient cultures.
Oh, you know, that's a contrast to your superb explanation to the listeners when I had doubts years ago and wondered whether God was all good, and your discussion there of God is all good, and all good God would have to be sane, and an insane God would let stuff kind of fall, gravity would end, and planets would crash and all of that. But this is an interesting comparison here, that within God's creation there is something that we can call evil because it's not consistent.
That's right. At least to early man it was considered evil, even
yes.
though it is periodic, which means it doesn't go against God's plan, but it...
Oh, yeah, that was very excellent there.
But it doesn't...
You know what? You can always defend God because God is true.
That's right. And here's an interesting point our astute listener brought up. A star, that is this star Algol, is a star associated with beheadings.
Wow.
In Arabic, the star was called El Ghul, G-H-U-L, from which the English word Ghul, G-H-O-U-L, is derived.
We must interrupt. Al Cuppet also had investigated and maintained that there were guillotines being stored in this country for the future beheadings, you see, of Christians as it would come to be in Revelation. So we're bringing out a lot of dark things here tonight, but you must be warned. God's people must know that perhaps some of these dangers are there.
That's right.
Lou. What else?
Now, we talked about the QR code, which is plainly there. And if you have the proper device, you can scan it, get more information. And our listener says the QR code algorithm, the mark of the beast, as in the beast of a totalitarian marketplace mentality. And now I think, unless Elizabeth has more to add to that, we'll get right into our essays.
Yes, and I think I would like to say this again, that in our coming book, COVID and the Coming Chaos, we have given a few authors space there, people we quoted or talked about who were very worried about this QR. Don't you have something on that, that it would follow us from cradle to grave?
Yes, I do. Yep. We call it, many have been concerned about the digital health records, especially some using something to do with COVID, using a QR code to, quote, follow an individual from cradle to grave.
So we'll be watching this situation and, of course, the other situation, Operation Task Shelter there in Massachusetts. And so now, as we move right into the news blitz that we have for you, we have to also see what the evil ones are doing right at this time to break down America, especially America, that last nation whose men have their guns. So this was our headline, WEF caught orchestrating U.S. border crisis from military bases in Panama. And you see, God is getting our attention with these shocking headlines and with these things that we've just told you that may be templates for coming tyranny, like the QR code, like the two-stage post offices, like these, quote, urgent care centers. So this was in the People's Voice. The World Economic Forum, WEF, has taken control of several American military bases in Panama and is orchestrating the invasion of migrants that are flooding the U.S. southern border. The WEF operation was exposed by political commentator Ann Vandersteel during her show Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. And then we have a little more detailed representation of that from Natural News by Arsenio Toledo. WEF takes over former U.S. military bases in Panama as migrants flood through Darien Gap on their way to America. The World Economic Forum has taken over former United States military bases in Panama at a time when illegal immigration is at an all-time high, thanks in no small part to South American migrants making their way north through Panama. This was revealed by political commentator Ann Vandersteel during an episode of her Brighteon TV program, Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. The host recently visited the former site of Fort Clayton near the former Panama Canal Zone, once a heavy base of operations for the United States. During her visit, Vandersteel found out that the WEF had moved into the area. She took a picture of the WEF flag flying side by side with a Panamanian flag. Quote, "I want you to take a good, hard look right now, America. These flags you see? That's right. The World Economic Forum flag flying overhead of the old Southcom U.S. Southern Command base, which was Fort Clayton in Panama. That's right, next to the Panamanian flag, she said. Quote, the U.S. government has abandoned Panama, which is the American crown jewel of Latin America. The United States military compounds are either totally run down or worse, occupied, as I said, by globalist psychopaths. Related, Panama intensifies efforts to prevent migrants from making their way to the U.S. Quote, we, the Americans, built the canal, and we, our government, I should say, gave it away, she added. Panamanians love Americans, and they're asking, where are the Americans? So just remember that the old Southcom base known as Fort Clayton today flies the World Economic Forum flag on top of it. Over 400,000 migrants to cross Darien Gap into Panama before October. Now, you see, we're in November. How many have come across by now? We wonder. That's Elizabeth interjecting. Back to the article. The revelation that the WEF is taking over parts of Panama comes as reports indicate that the number of South American migrants arriving in Panama through the near inhospitable environments of the Darien Gap on their journey to the U.S. will surpass that 400,000 mark that we mentioned, you see. And now back to the article again. These figures come from Panama's National Migration Service, which reported that as of 6 a.m. on Wednesday, September 27th, 399,606 South American migrants had entered the country through the Darien Gap. The crisis for Panama has especially worsened, with the daily number of migrants pouring in through the jungles of the Darien Gap exceeding 2,000 people. The unprecedented number of migrants crossing through Panama beat the record of 248,000 migrants set last year, and 2021's similarly record-breaking number of 133,000. Of the 400,000 migrants that have already crossed Panama's southern border this year, over 324,000 were from South America, including 252,000 Venezuelans, nearly 48,000 Ecuadorians, and more than 13,000 Colombians. Nearly 40,000 migrants are from the Caribbean, around 28,000 are Asians, and a little under 8,000 are Africans. Panamanian officials warn that, despite the slew of new measures the government has implemented in an attempt to curb record migration, the number of migrants and so-called asylum seekers that could enter the country through the Darien Gap could reach more than 500,000 before the year ends. Wow. Okay, we move on now to Lou.
The article that I have next, Elizabeth, is a continuation of one on the arming of the IRS and other American agencies.
Okay.
Do you have the beginning of that?
Do you have a number on yours?
11B.
You know what? I think I jumped the gun because I had another article that we had to bring the attention toward, despite Israel, the situation there usurping everything. And we had an interesting analysis of all of that with the long-ago Illuminati plans for World War III. So please, if you missed that program, I think that might have been, would it have been October the 26th, Lou?
Now there you've got me.
Close to that date on a Thursday. Go
close
into
to that, yes.
DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go to our archives and listen to that program, because nothing is the way it seems. And there are certain forces that are really hell-bent to get this World War III started. So now we're still back in the quagmire of Ukraine also. And so the New World Order is going to have many, many of our men out at multiple locations. This has always been part of the plan. They'll not be here to defend us at some strategic point. So here was Natural News, Kevin Hughes. Escalation, U.S. to deploy 3,600 Army troops in Eastern Europe. The United States Armed Forces is increasing its deployment of troops to Europe as the Russian special military operation in Ukraine continues, with an additional 3,600 Army troops slated to head to Eastern Europe this fall. And so, in a nutshell, the Army declared that about 3,400 soldiers with 101st Airborne Division's 3rd Infantry Brigade Combat Team and 200 soldiers from the 82nd Airborne Division headquarters would head to Eastern Europe in the coming weeks. And Army officials note that the units will be deployed mainly to Romania and Scandinavia. There's a little bit more on this. We won't give you the entire article, but give you a little bit more. Department of Defense officials were discussing whether to backfill both the 10th Mountain Division headquarters and 1st Infantry Brigade Combat Team, 101st Airborne Division, based on a report last September 1st. And see if there's a little bit more. I think that was pretty much it in a nutshell. And so then we now move on to some ominous things again. Along with these long windowless buildings, from Natural News by Ethan Huff, we have this headline, IRS loading up on 40 caliber submachine guns. Why? Virtually every federal government agency in Washington, D.C. is gearing up for what appears to be the makings of another civil war. Take the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, for instance, which is piling up armored vehicles, flashbang grenades loaded with tear gas, and 40 caliber submachine guns like it plans to wage war on Americans. For at least the past decade, the IRS has been arming itself to the teeth. At the end of 2017, the IRS had 4,487 firearms and 5,062,000 rounds of ammunition in its weapons cache. One can imagine that 6 years later, there's a lot more where that came from. Forbes reported on the IRS's weapons and ammo stockpiling spree on August 8, 2022, noting that fake President Joe Biden's Schumer-Manchin tax bill, more popularly known as the Inflation Reduction Act, raises taxes even more and gives the IRS billions of additional dollars to go into what the Wall Street Journal called beast mode. A Lee Summit, Missouri pastor by the name of Mark Gitford, uploaded a video to his God, Family, and Guns YouTube channel that explains why he thinks this militarization of the IRS is taking place. And, of course, you could look at that video. Is the federal government preparing for full-scale war against we the people?
In the past 2 years, we know the IRS used up about $700,000 worth of ammo, as well as added to the guns and ammo stockpile. This prompted Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, and Jeff Duncan, Republican of South Carolina, to introduce a bill called the Disarm the IRS Act to prohibit the agency from purchasing any more ammo. This bill died on arrival, of course, because the D.C. Uniparty, that is, establishment Republicans and Democrats, who worked for the same bosses, made sure to shut it down immediately. And we have a quote by Leo Homan. They hate Americans and do not represent Americans. They are globalists whose allegiance is to the military-industrial biosecurity complex, unquote. We also know that the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, is on a 40-caliber submachine gun purchasing spree as well, presumably so it can conduct more armed raids on independent food producers, including the Amish, whom the USDA has a special hatred for. The Small Business Administration, SBA, is also militarizing itself, as has the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. If it is a government agency supported by your tax dollars, then chances are it is arming up in order to kill you and anyone else who veers too far outside the globalist plantation. Homan wonders if the federal government is conducting an all-hands-on-deck operation to prepare for full-on war against the American people in the very near future. He asks, quote, You get the sense that maybe, just maybe, enough of us are waking up that the globalists are preparing to silence us once and for all. And the only way to complete that task is by force. All it would take is to make an example out of a few dozen, or maybe a few hundred, outspoken conservatives. The goal going forward would be to criminalize all speech that contradicts the messaging coming out of the government and its corporate partners, unquote. From there, the globalists will probably hope that conservatives start turning on each other out of fear, thus chipping away at their collective strength and eventually plunging the country into a full-blown police state. Is the U.S. about to unravel into chaos and mass destruction? Hence, why the federal government is arming itself to the teeth using your tax dollars. Then we have from Natural News, gun grab. Firearms owners protest in New Mexico governor ban on carrying guns following absurd, quote, public health emergency, unquote, declaration by Governor Grisham. This was by Bell Carter. Law-abiding gun owners calmly gathered around Old Town Albuquerque while displaying their firearms to protest Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's unconstitutional order to suspend the carrying of guns on public property all through New Mexico. A press release indicated, quote, the action plan includes a suspension of open and concealed carry laws in Bernalillo County, temporarily prohibiting the carrying of guns on public property with certain exceptions. Exceptions include licensed security guards and law enforcement officers. Citizens with permits to carry firearms are free to possess their weapons on private property, such as a gun range or gun store, provided they transport the firearm in a locked box, use a trigger lock or some other mechanism that renders the gun incapable of being fired, unquote. It applies to all public places, including government buildings and in open spaces. It will expire after 30 days unless Grisham opts to extend it. The peaceful gathering on Sunday, September 10th, was attended by people with their guns on display while holding American flags and Gadsden flags. One of the speakers encouraged the gun owners to show up every day in defiance of Grisham's executive order. And here we have a quote, "This will not stand. We will not comply." The speaker also shouted to applause, "You can wear your guns, and you are entitled to carry them," another one said. The ban followed Grisham's Friday declaration of a public health emergency as a response to shootings in the city, including those that killed a 13-year-old girl on July 28th, a 5-year-old girl on August 14th, and an 11-year-old boy on September 6th. The governor said, quote, "As I said yesterday, the time for standard measures has passed. When New Mexicans are afraid to be in crowds, to take their kids to school, to leave a baseball game, when their very right to exist is threatened by the prospect of violence at every turn, something is very wrong," unquote. The tyrannical order got pushback from state lawmakers, with some of them calling for her impeachment. And here we have another quote, "This emergency order violates the governor's oath to protect and defend the rights of New Mexicans and is illegal in nature. The legislature has a duty to intervene when the government is overstepping its boundaries, and Governor Grisham's order and comments disqualify her from continuing her tenure as governor." Those were the words of state representatives Stephanie Lord and John Block, and they said that in a press release. Related article, gun rights group sues New Mexico Governor Grisham for declaring a gun violence public emergency. And Bernalillo County Sheriff John Allen said during a news conference, he is not complying with the unconstitutional order. He said, quote, "While I understand and appreciate the urgency, the temporary ban challenges the foundation of our Constitution, which I swore an oath to uphold," Allen said in a statement Friday. "I am wary of placing my deputies in positions that could lead to civil liability conflicts, as well as the potential risks posed by prohibiting law-abiding citizens from their constitutional right to self-defense."
And, Lou, we can see that this kind of an opposition to our being armed is coming also from those evil corporations that want the one world government. So we have this headline from WorldNet Daily News Service. Banking giant admits pressuring Intuit into cutting off gun companies, by Tyler O'Neill. J.P. Morgan Chase admitted to pressuring the financial software company Intuit into preventing gun sellers from using the company's payment processing services. According to a letter Senator Ted Cruz sent Monday, after looking into the policy, Bank of America, meanwhile, denied pressuring Intuit into banning gun manufacturers from using its famous QuickBooks software. Woke big banks are increasingly weaponizing their power to cut off law-abiding businesses from accessing banking services, Cruz, Republican of Texas, told the Daily Signal in an email statement Monday. Quote, the American people and small businesses must be protected from this discriminatory overreach, Cruz added. We cannot allow giant corporations to get away with punishing customers who do not fall in line with the left's political whims and leanings. Intuit, the financial software company best known for producing QuickBooks, had adopted an acceptable use policy, previously listing, quote, guns and firearm manufacturing as one of the business types prohibited from using payroll services. Intuit also listed, quote, firearms and weapon sales as a business type prohibited from using payment processing services.
Intuit removed its prohibitions on payroll and payment processing for gun manufacturers and firearm sellers August 1st, following Cruz's investigation of the company. The Texas Republican thanked Intuit in his letter Monday. Cruz learned about these issues after Intuit withdrew its services from Dawson Precision, a Texas company that manufactures firearm parts. Intuit gave Dawson Precision no warning and simply refused to process payroll. Intuit later notified Dawson Precision that the software company had canceled the manufacturer's account because Intuit's acceptable use policy excluded firearm manufacturers. When Dawson Precision explained that its manufacturers only, or that it manufactures only parts for firearms, not firearms themselves, Intuit directed the company to lodge a complaint with a third party that had flagged it. The third party didn't respond to Dawson Precision's attempts to appeal the decision. Intuit also stopped processing credit card payments for the Arizona company Gunsight Academy, citing Intuit's ban on companies that engage in gun sales that are not face-to-face. After Gunsight Academy explained that it legally shipped firearms to local dealers rather than directly to consumers, Intuit refused to reverse the decision. When Cruz's staff approached Intuit about its firearm policies, the company said its banking partners, J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America, demanded the policies. Specifically, Intuit said Bank of America required it to prohibit gun manufacturers from using QuickBooks, and J.P. Morgan required Intuit to prohibit gun sellers from doing so. J.P. Morgan admitted its role in the policy, but Bank of America denied that it ever gave Intuit any instructions about firearm companies. This doesn't mark J.P. Morgan's first foray into cracking down on bank accounts associated with conservative causes. In May 2022, Chase Bank, a division of J.P. Morgan Chase, closed an account for the National Committee for Religious Freedom, an organization founded by Sam Brownback, former Kansas governor, and President Donald Trump's ambassador at large for international religious freedom.
Brownback, along with conservative organizations, suggested that Chase close the account for religious or political reasons, which Chase denied. The bank said it closed the account because it needed more information about donors and recipients than the nonprofit provided. Chase also closed accounts associated with the Arkansas Family Council and Defense of Liberty in 2021. The threat that conservatives may face blacklisting from bank services extends beyond J.P. Morgan Chase. Far-left groups such as the Southern Poverty Law Center have pressured donor-advised funds to cut off charitable donations to conservative organizations that the SPLC brands, quote, hate groups. The left-leaning group SOMOFT, is also pressured, has also pressured MasterCard to refuse to process any credit card transactions for, quote, hate groups. In his letter, Cruz wrote that Intuit did the right thing regarding its payroll and payment services. I encourage other companies to follow your company's lead and take note that banning customers from using their products due to political differences is not good business, the senator's letter concludes. And now we move right on to the situation in America. It's not very good. We have here as an example from Natural News, a headline, LAHSA data, Los Angeles County now has over 75,000 homeless people. And so we would say, you see, they're getting this well underway to move the people out of their homes and take the homeless who are there possibly to these coming depopulation centers. We hate to say it, but that's about it. And so this count of 75,000 homeless people, we would have to say that the article says the number of homeless people in the city and the county have been steadily increasing in recent years, with the issue consistently being one of the main concerns of voters in the city, county officials they elect. The homeless count results tell us what we already know, that we have a crisis on our streets, and it's getting worse, Kellum added. And, of course, Kellum was the LAHSA chief executive, Valencia, okay? And he said, the important thing to take away from today is that for the first time, the city, county, and LAHSA, that would be the Los Angeles Housing, what would the SA be? Probably the organization there that does it, figures it out. Anyway, they're moving with urgency to house the people living on our streets. There's a little more, isn't there, Lou?
There is, yes. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass noted that the LA City Council has already approved $7.8 million in spending for inpatient substance abuse treatment, claiming the homelessness will not be solved, quote, without addressing drug abuse and mental illness, unquote. This comes several months after Bass promised to recommend spending a record-breaking $1.3 billion next fiscal year to get the so-called unhoused into treatment and shelter programs. And this is Lou. This could be good to help the poor homeless people, or it could be the tyrant's template to start consolidating Los Angeles as one more 15-minute city. Now back to the article. Bass recently signed an updated declaration of a state of emergency due to the city's homelessness crisis, allowing the city's government to further expedite its spending programs meant to provide people with housing. In a statement following the signing of the emergency, of the updated emergency declaration, Bass claimed that in her first 6 months in office, the government has seen, quote, thousands of Angelenos come inside and thousands of units expedited, unquote. A brazen claim very clearly disproved by the recent LAHSA data. Bass added that the urgency with which her government has supposedly moved in her first 6 months, quote, must continue with added collaboration and coordination with the city council in this emergency, unquote. The updated emergency declaration provides the mayor with additional emergency powers and allows her office to enhance collaboration with the city council in a variety of ways, including coordinating and issuing new rules, expediting contracting, ordering contracts, and providing emergency services. This also allows the mayor's office to expedite the building of affordable housing projects and to focus efforts on maximizing the use of publicly owned land for new housing projects. Said Bass, we cut red tape and we fast attract approval.
And I think, there, we've caught the focus of this. And again, we see this theme, don't we? We're building this low-income housing, more of these long, low, jail-like structures, perhaps, and we're taking the land, we're moving in and evicting people. I think we've given the idea there what's happening. And, Lou, I think we should now move to what's going on in the morality sphere, too, this kind of a draconian tyranny in California, which one of our listeners called the nut job state. We have WorldNet Daily, and this was the headline, Governor Signs Law Barring Removal of LGBT Books from Schools. And this was by Brandon Poulter, the Daily Caller News Foundation. Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill Monday that will ban school boards from removing books that teach racial or LGBTQ topics in the classroom. School boards around the U.S. are removing books and materials from classrooms that parents have deemed inappropriate, causing books with overtly racial or sexual material to become a flashpoint in the culture wars. The AB 1078, which Newsom signed, will prevent school boards from banning instructional materials or library books that include information teaching about racial or LGBTQ topics, and will allow the county superintendent to take unilateral action to include these materials, including, according to the bill, from Temecula to Tallahassee. Fringe ideologues across the country are attempting to whitewash history and ban books from schools. With this new law, we're cementing California's role as a true freedom state, a place where families, not political fanatics, have the freedom to decide what's right for them, Newsom said in a press release. Newsom previously fined the Temecula Valley Unified School District $1.5 million in July for not adopting the governor's proposed LGBTQ curriculum. School boards in California are pushing back on the legislature and Democratic Attorney General Bob Bonta's LGBTQ policies by implementing rules in opposition to the California Democratic Party, such as parental transgender notification policies, as well as rejecting LGBTQ materials in classrooms. AB 1078 sends a strong signal to the people of California, but also to every American, that in the Golden State we don't ban books, we cherish them, State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurmond. Newsom did not immediately respond to the Daily Caller News Foundation's request for comment. And now Lou has just another investigative reporter, shall we say, of the Divided Kingdom. From the Midwest, this again is a former newspaper woman who went into her little rural library and saw something on the table. Oh, Lou.
Yes, this said book list, and the title page said, Let's Stay Connected. Yes, this...
Ding, ding, ding. There's another one of those terms.
Another key word, yes. That's right, yes. And within that, it had a little section called Bilingual Picture Books. And that sounds innocent enough, doesn't it? Well, here's a little sample of some of those.
You first have the one that's for the wee little kids, the ones who sit on the lap of the kindergarten teacher. And, you know, we would have thought there would be things about little snowmen or raindrops.
Well, one would think so, wouldn't one? This is for kindergarten through grade three. The title of the book was One of a Kind, Like Me. Sounds innocent enough. By Lauren Mayino. And the description says, when the school parade is announced, Danny confidently decides he wants to wear a purple princess dress. Mayino shows Danny surrounded by a supportive family structure. Grandpa suggests visiting the thrift store, and Danny's mother helps make his costume. The Spanish and English texts appear side by side in this reassuring story of a gender non-conforming child. Then we have the title Bone Weaver.
And now I guess we're moving up to older listeners.
Yes.
Or older readers, rather.
Right. Grades 9 through 12 by Aidan Polidori.
Now, we're going to notice the mixture of some weird occult types of witchcraft ideas and this kind of a deviant sexuality.
Toma lives in the wilderness with her adoptive family, who are Yupiri, I guess that's pronounced, or living dead.
And you notice there seemed to be a word connection there to vampire, that P-I-R-I.
Yeah, it seems as if they're coming from the same ultimate root word. And, of course, this is not exactly what you call a Christian book, living dead. I don't think so. Going on with the description, when Toma and her sister, Galina, cross paths with the deposed Tsar and Galina is kidnapped by revolutionaries, Toma sets off to rescue her sister and face down the rebellion. Then we have Ellie Engel, Saves Herself by Leah Johnson. This one is for the younger crowd again, grades 4 through 8. When an earthquake gives Ellie the power to bring back dead things, her simple life is over. This middle grade debut excellently harnesses Ellie's anxiety, while her magic serves as a metaphor that uncovers and awakens her identity as a young, queer, black girl. There we have The Hidden World of Gnomes by Lauren Saloy. This is for kindergarten through grade 2, for the little ones again. Using the structure of a scientific guidebook, this directory introduces readers to the lives and habits of gnomes. Diagrams, recipes, chants, and charming digital illustrations coalesce for one magical experience. Next is Nightbirds by Kate J. Armstrong. In a world where magic is outlawed and controlled, nightbird girls who gift their magic with a kiss are kept by the great houses and exploited for political gain. Then we have Painted Devils by Margaret Owen. This standalone sequel outclasses its predecessor as it turns a shrewd eye toward virginity and desire. This, by the way, was for grades 9 through 12. Con artist Vanya starts a cult accidentally and summons a god accidentally who demands Vanya's sort of boyfriend as a virgin sacrifice. Then Sir Cali and the Champions of Helston. And I don't know that that's a mistake to have the word hell built into that location. This is by Esme Sines Smith. Cali travels with there. Notice the pronoun there. We were commenting upon that.
Yes, our investigative listener noted that, brought that to our attention.
She did.
This is a singular person, but remember, we're supposed to let anybody pick their name, whatever they are, their gender. So this is somebody who's like a set two selves, I guess, huh?
I guess, or they just don't like that his and hers business. They want to
make
get
it
away
generic,
from that.
Right?
That's
mix
right.
It all together.
So anyway, Cali travels with their hero father to the royal capital, where they hope to become a knight while contending with an aggressively queer-phobic culture. And then we have Venom and Vow by Anne Marie McLemore and Elliot McLemore. Bi-gender Val and transgender Cade are enemies living in warring communities or countries. They are also both adept multiple identities of different genders, and because of this, don't realize that as they're fighting, they're also falling in love.
With books like this, God's judgment appears to be hovering even closer because the country has now become so degenerate. So it's no wonder that we have from Natural News, jumping ahead, Lou, here, this headline, Dollar Doomsday, Global Shift Away from Euros and Dollars is Accelerating. The economic situation in both the United States and the European Union has degraded to so much in recent weeks that even the powers that be are admitting that the situation looks much uglier than the experts previously warned. According to data from SWIFT, the global messaging service for cash transactions, one of use of the euro has collapsed over the last 9 months, its share of transactions dropped from 38%, that's SWIFT, in January to a measly 23.2% at the end of August. This is the lowest level recorded in at least 12 years. It is now being acknowledged that Europe is more than likely in a recession already. And based on the old standards of calculating a recession, the U.S. is likewise in a recession and heading towards a Great Depression that will be much worse than the first one. And so this common currency, you see, has had another 8% against the dollar, and that is the euro, with any gains before. It's likely only getting started in terms of the continued decline. Lou, you have a little more.
Yes, I think I do. Now, which one was that?
And that's 16B there.
Oh, yes. Based on the new standards, the U.S. is expected to officially enter a recession in 2024 as the effects of monetary tightening take their toll. Some believe that the dollar will hold roughly steady through the winter months before dropping off a cliff next year. As poorly as the U.S. is doing right now economically, the Eurozone is reportedly doing much worse. There, growth momentum is declining at the most rapid pace, while the U.S. economy has seemingly magically continued to, quote, hang in there, unquote.
And, you know, we can look at that. It's being reflected there, the things that reflect how the moral depravity has brought about perhaps God's judgment already through COVID and the COVID shots. And we have the headline, CDC urges pregnant women to have 4 vaccines. This was October 19th, the People's Voice. Vaccine hesitancy among pregnant women is on the rise and is causing concern among some doctors and public health officials, according to the CDC. So concerning that on Tuesday, NBC News led its online broadcast with what the network said was the biggest news in the world. President Biden to visit Israel and vaccine hesitancy on the rise for pregnant women. Then we have a headline, top doctors warn fully jabbed now have permanent heart damage. The People's Voice, October 24th. Top American doctors, 2 of them, have spoken out to warn the public about the permanent heart damage being inflicted on people who have received the COVID mRNA vaccine. And the FDA finally warns parents that COVID jabs cause deadly seizures in toddlers. And again, we say that these awful results of our time are related to the moral depravity. And Lou read to you children's book excerpt and blurbs that are just horrendous. Please pray for this country. Please pray for the divided kingdom. Good night.